What's up, Beardos? In today's bonus episode, it's all food, all the time. That's right. It's time for another exclusive What We've Been Eating.
Basically, our whole philosophy boils down to don't be a jerk.
Don't really answer your question first try. Not answering your question. I really hope people didn't tune in to hear us talk about beer.
Welcome to the show. I'm Paul.
And I'm Andy.
And we are the Bearded Vegans, a podcast featuring a dissection of all things vegan.
If you are just tuning in for the first time, welcome. You can find all of our previous episodes at thebeardedvegans.com. And of course, you can reach us by emailing thebeardedvegans@gmail.com or just go ahead and leave a comment below right here on the old Patreon.
Andy, I love how you said Andy. I'm Andy. Because in the document, Andy is italicized for some reason, just that word. And I'd like to think that's why you read it like that. As you were skimming across the notes, she's like, oh, it's italics. I need to add a little flair to this word.
I was practicing my lines before we started. I'm Andy. I'm Andy. I'm Andy. And, you know, I settled on what I did. You know, these bonus episodes, more than anything, Paul, they're a chance to change the inflection of our intro to let people know that it's not a pre-recorded thing every single time.
Just practicing our material for later. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Just trying to get in some
anymore.
Time, Paul. Riffing on bits.
So, Andy, we're doing a food episode. We haven't done one of these in a while. You know, used to talk about food all the time. Don't talk about food much anymore. You know how it is, listener.
You've heard us give that spiel before. Of course, we do love the food. And occasionally we do enjoy talking about it. I have a couple, for me, very exciting things to talk about, at least. I'm excited to share them with everybody. But before we even get to that, Paul, again, and I'm saying again, even though this is the first time in the episode, just want to send the again refers to previous episodes. Huge thank you. Huge thank you to anyone that's listening. Because if you are listening, that means you are helping to keep the lights on at this here podcast. And it's just a huge thank you we're sending your way.
Andy, first of all, yes, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Paul's like, wait, get the thank yous out of the way. I have some funny quip to give.
Yes, I do. And here it is. We've progressed from saying, and you know, we've talked about before. Oh, and in last time's episode. And now you just say again.
Yep, that's what we've devolved into, Paul.
but really, thank you. Sincerely, thank you for, if you are listening to this, it does mean you're supporting us, and we really, really do appreciate that. So thank you.
Yeah, we appreciate the hell out of you. And I think it was actually between the last bonus episode and this bonus episode that we shifted up the tiers a little bit. So I just want to send another thank you again, another thank you to everybody that responded to the poll, the request for feedback that I put up. And so far, very much enjoying not sending out as many physical packages every month. So and hopefully all you $5 level people are enjoying the early access of late. It's been about two days early, but I think that we should get these next couple out earlier than that for sure, because they are mostly in the bag.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Speaking of bags, Andy,
food bag.
A stomach is a bag. And what have you been putting in it?
Man, where to even start? Paul, I've done a couple of veg fests in the South recently. I did Asheville Vegan Fest, and then the next weekend I did Nashville Veg Fest. And both times I was in the vicinity of dairy cheese. And this is spelled like dare, and the E has the two dots above it. Is that an umlaut? It's not an accent aigu. I know that much.
I don't know what that means. Andy, I thought an umlaut was reserved for a U, but I could be wrong about that.
E with two dots over it. Google that real quick. It is an umlaut. So anyway, nailed that one. thank you for tuning in for this investigative podcast. Dairy cheese, they were directly next to me in Asheville. They were two booths away from me in Nashville. And both of them, all day long, people just kept coming by because they give out samples of their cheese. and everyone was just like, have you tried this cheese? It's phenomenal. And it's cashew based cheese, and I'm sure it's very good, but I was like, you know, I've had cashew cheese, like, you know, it's just like some tasty cashews, like ground up and formed into a cheese. Like, how good could it be? But then I was next to some friends of mine in Nashville, and they came back with a bag of like six things of cheese. And they're like, have you had this? Because it's phenomenal. And I was like, all right, I'm sold. I'm going to go try a sample. And I asked for a sample of their Gouda cheese. It's like a smoked Gouda. Is Gouda always smoked, Paul? Or is that just like a vegan thing? Because smoke covers all flavors and makes everything taste good to me.
I truly have no idea, Andy. I was never, you know, super familiar with different types of cheeses growing up. I knew cheddar, and that's all you got to know.
What about American?
I guess, yeah. But I was a cheddar boy.
What did we learn recently? That Cool Ranch Doritos are called other things in other countries because they don't like have ranch in them. Was it called Cool American?
Yeah. Cool American, I think.
A little trivia right there. Anyway, I had this Gouda, and the person was like, it's cold, so it's kind of firm right now, but it's one of our melty cheeses. And I put it in my mouth. Flavor, fucking fantastic, Paul. Such good flavor. Texture, it was like, it had some spring to it. It had some stretch to it. It had a little bounce in its step. It was not like a, you know, like a lot of cashew cheese is almost like a dip kind of thing.
Yeah.
This was like, I was like, oh, this is like a stretchy cheese. I can't wait to melt this on something. And so I immediately bought like five things from them, and I do not regret it one bit. Paul, this cheese is so good. I absolutely love this cheese. So I got the Gouda. They also have a couple different flavors of brie. I got the roasted garlic brie, but there's also a fig and balsamic brie, which I didn't try, but I would love to get that next time. I can't say I really tasted the roasted garlic in this brie, and it really resembled more of like a hard cheese wedge, but also very, very, very good. Star of the show, probably their French onion cream cheese.
Oh, Andy, I've been really branching out, trying a lot of different cream cheeses recently. Been digging the Violife cream cheese, actually. They make a cheddar cream cheese that's really good. But ooh, Tell me more about this cream cheese.
Cheddar cream cheese, that's interesting.
You know I'm a cheddar boy, as previously mentioned.
You're a boy made of cheddar. You know, Paul, we could have a whole conversation about how most vegan cream cheese really sucks. This stuff, I don't know. The texture is just great. The flavor is amazing. I'm a big fan of like that French onion dip kind of flavor. They nailed it. There's like little chunks of like, I don't know, they're caramelized, but some kind of cooked onion is in there. And I haven't been able to find a proper bagel because, not to sound like a snob, but the further you get away from like New York and New Jersey, the less people know what a bagel is. It's honestly, Paul, it's like really weird getting bagels in somewhere like Florida or something. You're like, what is this? What are you giving to me?
Do you ever try Dave's Killer Bagels? Dave's Killer Bread, their bagels?
Love the bread. Never tried the bagels.
They're good. They're solid. I think they're not going to be, you know, what you are describing, like a New York bagel or something like that. But I do think they are very, very good.
All right. I'll try that because, I mean, we got like the Lenders bagels around here, and they're just not doing it for me. So I'm trying to find like a good bagel to put this cream cheese on. I also got their mozzarella, which is another one of their melty cheeses. I'll say it doesn't really taste like mozzarella to me. It tastes like nooch. So no complaints there. But I think the Miyoko's Mott still reigns supreme in that category. Mm-hmm. And then the final thing I got was a little pumpkin cream cheese, like dessert bar type thing.
Ooh.
Also great. So good.
That does sound good. Man, I'm so jealous, Andy. I feel like there was a short period of time during the pandemic where we were ordering lots of fancy vegan cheeses, and I missed that. I missed that, those fancy cheeses.
We kicked off the new year with a bunch of fancy vegan cheeses that your partner mm-hmm. got.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shout out to Kendra. This brand is going to be at the Atlanta Veg Fest, I just found out. So I am going to just stock the hell up there because I guess I should find out what their shelf life is. But it's so good. It's made locally in Asheville, North Carolina. And I just can't stop raving about it. And I'm going to eat some more as soon as we're done recording.
That's awesome, Andy.
Paul, what have you been putting in that beautiful mouth of yours?
Andy, not only have I been putting in this in my mouth, I have been creating this before putting this in my mouth because I am talking about purple carrot. Now, as the listener might be aware, not a big cook, this guy right here that I'm pointing to, and it's myself. I cook for efficiency, and it, things usually take like less than 10 minutes for me to make. 10 minutes is honestly pushing it. Less than 5 minutes, I would say, is like a solid.
Yes, how long does it take to open up a block of raw tofu? Seconds.
That's the length. Yeah, that's my maximum. And so I had received for my birthday a while ago a gift card for some purple carrot meals, and it took me a while to actually use the gift card to order them because I was like, oh, I'm going to have to cook my own stuff. This is ridiculous. But, and if you're not familiar, it's like the type of subscription where they send you recipes and they send you the exact amount of ingredients that you need to create that recipe. So there's little measuring and more so like you still need to cook, you still need to, you know, stir fry and bake and all that stuff and combine, melt, mix, I don't know what other zest, what other fun cooking verbs can I think of? You need to do all that stuff, but it takes away some of like the grocery shopping and the ingredient measuring, those sorts of things. But Andy, so we had, my partner and I, we had 6 meals total from Purple Carrot over the span of a few weeks. And I got to say, I was so impressed with every single one of those meals. They spanned from this is really good to like, this is the best blank that I've ever had. And I'll insert that blank in a second because it was the my favorite thing. But yeah, it's like the flavor profile. That sounds so pretentious when I say it, but the flavors were so varied. Like they provided such a vast choice of meals. And so it was just, it was really cool. Andy, you have some experience with purple carrot, right?
Yeah. You know, sometime last year in the fall or so, a friend of mine said, would you like a free box from Purple Carrot? Because I guess if you get certain thresholds, like once you've paid for 4 boxes, they let you gift a box to somebody else, which is really a pretty brilliant way of getting more people into their, you know, subscription program. And I said, sure, why not? Picked out a couple meals, got it. And it happened during a week that I was like doing my like Halloween pre-order launch, and I was redesigning the website and everything was just super busy for me. And so my partner cooked them, and to have this very delicious, very interesting, flavorful meal with a wonderful flavor profile and good mouthfeel, Paul, it was like such a treat. Like it was just like, I was just so like beaten down at that point, especially for all of that stuff that I just mentioned and the fact that it was like, you know, the height of my, you know, lack of income during the pandemic and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, but it was also, it's like 70 or 80 bucks or whatever, like for the box. And so mm-hmm. not within my price range. And so let it go. And then recently my friend came back around and was like, hey, I got another box. Do you know anyone that would want one, or do you want one? And I was like, send it to my partner's email. And so my partner got it, and then just for like a week or two forgot to cancel. And then we were just like, yeah, this is pretty great. Like, let's just keep getting this thing. Mm-hmm. And so it is really nice. Nothing has been a total stinker. I'll say that. Portion size, some of the things I feel like are a little smaller than I want them to be. But more often than not, my experience is looking at this collection of ingredients and going, that's not going to be enough for 2 people. And yeah. Then it creates these 2 very filling bowls of food. Mm-hmm. Like, honestly, the only thing that I don't like about it is that it, for as much as they tout that it cuts down on food waste because you're getting the exact portions, there's so much packaging involved. You have this giant box, you have this insulation that they say you can recycle, but I'm not entirely sure how to recycle it at this point. And then you have all the plastic bags that everything is coming in. Plus they print out this like recipe booklet that contains all the recipes for any meal you could have possibly gotten in that week. So it like that part kind of kills me. And that was another like motivation for me to cancel that first box. But yeah, the convenience and just the fact that it's like, we haven't really even picked our meals. Like we're just like, send us whatever. And so the fact that we're getting stuff that I wouldn't normally make, and I'm like, oh, I actually really enjoy this flavor profile. It has been really nice and fun to try different types of dishes.
Yeah, no, I feel the exact same way. And we did pick out our things, but there were still meals in there where we were both like, we would never, if I was at a restaurant, I would never get this thing. And it ended up being really, really good. The one that I definitely want to give a huge shout out to. And I'll also say this. Yes, Andy?
Okay, take a guess. Would Droopy Dog like this meal?
He would.
About to say.
He would love
is
this
it,
meal,
is
Andy.
Is it a black bean burger?
That is exactly what it is. And Andy, Purple Carrot just puts their recipes online, so you can literally just go ahead and Google mushroom cheddar black bean burger with garlic aioli and carrot fries, and you can find that recipe yourself, do it yourself. You know, I'm not throwing shade at black bean burgers, but a black bean burger has not excited me in quite some time, Andy, and we got this one. And we were like, okay, there's these mushrooms on it and there's some cheddar on it. So it's probably going to be better than a normal black bean burger. It was absolutely mind-blowing. Like, I loved this black bean burger so much that I am, it's the one recipe that I am going to make this one again. I'm going to begrudgingly go out and buy my own ingredients and do my own ingredient measurement like a common peasant. and I'm just kidding, but like I am gonna make this one again. It was incredible, so I would encourage people to just look up the recipe, and if you have time and the resources, go make that, because it was really, really good.
While you're doing that, I pulled up the link to the recipe, so it will be in the show notes for people if you want to just click on that. We've made, just like Purple Carrot, we've made it easy for you. Hashtag this is not an ad.
So Andy, that's my Purple Carrot experience. Hit me with another good food experience you had.
So I should have probably just mentioned this in my last segment, in which I should have just bundled everything together under the VegFest banner. But in Asheville, I was next to the Be Lightful Bakery, and they had a lot of fun things. They had some like heart-shaped Pop-Tart thingies and some like cake skull stuff. And, you know, when I'm doing these fests alone, I usually try to run around and get some sort of food before like the thing kicks off. And usually the hot food places are not quite rolling by the, you know, before doors open, and the bakeries always are. So I'm often picking up some sort of baked good, which I'm like, this is good. There's carbs. It's filling. It'll make me not feel horrible and starving for the rest of the day. And so I picked up a couple of things from Be Lightful, and everything was great, but by far, star of the show, Paul, they did a vegan payday bar.
Now, Andy, what is a payday bar?
It is like I don't know how to describe the center. It's like a caramelly kind of core, pretty firm, and then it's like rolled in peanuts.
Okay.
So I can't say that this was my favorite candy bar in my pre-vegan days, but it's also just not something I have seen anybody make vegan. So just by the novelty factor alone, I had to try it. Mm-hmm. And so gosh darn good, Paul.
Oh, so good.
I have nothing more to say other than that. So if you ever happen to be able to get one from Be Lightful, go for it.
Nice. Andy, hit me with something else here.
Okay, Paul, I am very sad to say that I drove through the city of your residence and did not see you recently.
Very sad.
It was during the time of day in which you were working.
We were like two ships crossing paths in
yep,
the night.
Or passing in the night. Yep. So I specifically, I really want to make a stop at V Marks, the shop. I haven't been there forever. You know, our good friends run it, and they always just have, it's a fully vegan market convenience. It's not a convenience store. It's a little, you know, more expansive than that, but it's not like a full grocery store. But they always have a ton of really fun vegan products, things that I have never seen before. And I went specifically really wanting this.
The lobster?
I did see the lobster there, Paul, and I just shuddered. apparently the lobster is pretty popular there.
Interesting.
for the uninitiated, I think it's Mewa makes this lobster, and it's just like, if you've ever had like their shrimp, which I feel like is a much more prevalent thing. I've seen lots of restaurants use that, you know, it's kind of like a jello mold of shrimp, and the texture is like a jello thing, you know, like a firm jello. And the lobster is just like 4 pounds of that in the shape of a lobster. And there's like a smiley face on the back of the lobster's head, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I think so. It's Andy, I love Mewa. Love them. Love their food so much. Did not care for the lobster.
It was a horrible choice. Somewhere in the backlogs of this podcast, I should have started with that with again, but somewhere in like the backlogs of this podcast, we tell the story of finally getting the lobster after asking many times and it being sold out. And how
or the waiter just telling
was.
Me, you don't want that.
Yeah. I mean, the waiter said it was sold out, and I like eventually challenged the waiter. I was like, do you ever have it? And he's like, God, we have one. You're going to regret this. Anyway, I went because I really wanted this Chili Whiz that Algorithm makes. And Paul, I know you're a fan of Algorithm, right?
Yeah, they're right now they're just a food truck in Philly, and the kindest owner of that food truck, like, so always nice. Makes you feel like you're like an old friend, and the food is, I think, really, really good too. Sorry, continue.
Yeah, well, so I was exposed to Algorithm at the Atlantic City Vegan Food Festival. And I met the owner, bought a shirt for me earlier on like the first day. Just, yeah, super nice. Made me feel like we've known each other forever. And so the next day I went, because everyone was raving about these breakfast sandwiches, and I went and I got two of their different breakfast sandwiches, which were fantastic. But on them was this Calabrian chili cheese whiz, essentially, the spicy, cheesy sauce whiz thing. And I thought that was great. And I knew that Via Marks, the shop, was now carrying the Chili Whiz. And so I went and didn't order ahead, just kind of rolled those dice, hoping that they would have it. And they did. And oh man, Paul, I've been a little goes a long way with that stuff. It does have a pretty solid kick, at least for someone with my spice level tolerance. But I've just been putting it on everything, sandwiches and hot dogs. And it's just breakfast sandwiches, all sorts of sandwiches, really, Paul. It's so good. It's so
name
good.
Three more sandwiches, Andy.
Club, grilled cheese.
What is
hot dog?
Dog. What is the like the delivery mechanism of this whiz? Because in my mind, I'm thinking of like the
spray
when you say
can.
Cheese whiz, I think the aerosol can.
It's like a bottle. It's like it's kind of like the bottle that like a Naked Juice would come in, like that, maybe a little bit taller and slimmer, but nice wide opening, you know. No,
I appreciate that.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's good. And I've put it on so many things, and I'm only like a third of the way through this bottle. So, yeah, big fan of that. And just big fan of the old V Marks' shop. I also got some. Paul, have you had the all vegetarian bacon?
I don't think so.
I had only ever really seen it at places on the West Coast. And the most memorable was one time I went to the Butcher's Son in Berkeley, and they had like a maple donut with this bacon on it. And it was just so good. And I've never seen it. I've never been able to buy it from a store before. And I was able to buy it from V-Marks, the shop. And I know a lot of people that's their favorite vegan bacon by far. I am in that camp as well, which is interesting because it really looks the part, but it does not crisp up. It's not trying to, it's just like the texture of like a tofurkey slice. And I guess it kind of just tastes like bologna maybe, but like to me, the flavor is great and perfect, but I don't think you would give it to a non-vegan and be like, here, this perfect bacon replacement, but something about it is just great.
Andy, that's a pretty high praise because I feel like you've been classically very critical of vegan bacons.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it's probably on a food episode where I slammed that rice paper bacon. What was it? I forget what that brand was, but it's not great. So yeah, anyway, that's the Philly trip. And I just happened to be coming through during Philly Vegan Restaurant Week. which is a time when all these restaurants have fun, different menus and specials and things like that. And so I was just like, let me like see what's going on and I can pick up a meal. And I landed on Tomo, who I believe you've talked about on the show before.
Andy, rivals Mia's as my favorite sushi spot.
It's high praise. High praise indeed. And now that Mia's is closed, it's your number one.
Yeah, I think it might be. It's incredible. So what did you get?
So I got their restaurant week special, which consisted of two rolls that were like 8 pieces each. I did their cheesesteak roll. It's like they you don't get to choose. That's what they give you. Cheesesteak roll, and which had like melted chow slices like over it. And inside was like this marinated seitan.
Oh.
And then their, I don't think it was a spicy tuna roll, but it was like had their tomato tuna like draping over the top of it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, raw tomato stuff, pretty, I want to say pretty dicey, but I generally just hate it. And I actually love the tuna one significantly more than the cheesesteak one, but it was so good.
That's interesting that because they have, I forget what's inside of it, but they have a regular roll, like not for restaurant week, that has the melted chow on it. And that, I think that is my favorite roll that they have, is the one that has that. So that's high praise, Andy.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't not like the cheesesteak roll, but yeah, the tomato one, so good. And I tried to look up the ingredients, but since the restaurant week thing is over, I couldn't find it. But it also came with three different types of inari. One had like this marinated asparagus, and there was a couple others that one had like some mushrooms in it, something like that. All very good. The only thing I didn't love is that it also came with some gyoza, which, you know, take or leave it, wasn't my favorite. But the other thing that I got, Paul, was, you know, advisable for someone on a road trip going to be eating in their van, some ramen. And I have to say, wasn't a fan of the noodle choice. Everything else, though, about this ramen, fucking phenomenal. So good. They had this marinated seitan in there and like the soft tofu and then some mushrooms and this spicy garlicky broth. Ugh. So good. It just made me so happy to eat it.
I had their ramen relatively recently, like a month ago or something, or a few weeks ago or something like that. I also got, I mean, obviously, I also got it takeout, which is not, it's not the ideal way to eat ramen, I would say. You want it in that nice bowl, not like a paper cup. But yeah, I remember it being really good. And again, Andy, as in referencing one of our earliest episodes, I was a skeptical ramen fan at first.
Yeah, Bob Ramen in Hartford, I believe. You know what? I have to say that the noodles not too dissimilar from Bob Ramen, which is a little disappointing.
I didn't even remember that. It was like 6 years ago.
Steel trap, baby.
Oh, it's so funny.
Yeah. So yeah, I can't wait to try more things from them. They have such fun, creative rolls that are just utilizing, for the most part, vegetables. They're not trying to have a ton of, you know, vegan meats and things like that. Not there's anything wrong with that, but I find that when there's a sushi place that really relies on those things, it usually makes them kind of like just a mid-tier, very rarely like a big wow factor. And when the restaurants like Mia's, like Tomo, like Shizen out in San Francisco, when they're largely just kind of vegetable focused, vegetable forward, as the pretentious would say, that's when people really shine and figure out really creative things. And yeah, big fan. Can't wait to explore their menu a bit more.
Was that your first time getting them, Andy?
First time, baby.
Oh, well, you got to go back, get some together next time you're passing through.
I fully agree with that. All right, Paul. Who's been fulfilling your caffeine needs lately?
Well, Andy, so I took a trip to Pittsburgh a couple weekends ago. It's a fun trip. It was just for funsies. We drove up the steepest residential street in the continental United States, the third steepest street in the world.
Wow.
Let me tell you, quite steep, Andy. Quite,
insert
quite steep.
An audience going, whoa, right here.
And other than that, we did have some food. Nothing, I would say nothing everything was fine that we had. It was good. Nothing was like mind blowing. I was really, really bummed because you've hyped up Apteka quite a bit, and it was only it is currently only open for dine-in, which we did not know until we got there, and we were like, I don't really want to dine in. So I was not able to get those pierogies. Also unfortunate because pierogies, apparently big Pittsburgh food. Pittsburgh pierogies is a big thing. And pickles too. Apparently just P foods,
triple P, Pittsburgh pickled pierogies. Pittsburgh pickled pierogies.
And so I was disappointed that I didn't get to have Apteka. You know, maybe if I find myself passing through Pittsburgh. Andy, no shade on Pittsburgh. I can't see myself being like, I need to go to Pittsburgh again. You know,
Pittsburgh, I do the Veg Fest. I've enjoyed some food there. I agree with your overall assessment that nothing has blown me away except for Apteka. And the Blue Moon ice cream from Sugar Spell Scoops was just like some just phenomenal ice cream that I had there. But nothing that I'm like, I must go there unless it's Apteka. And I'm really sad to hear that they were doing dine-in only, because I have gotten takeout from them several times and I've dined in. It's been a great experience every single time. The dine-in situation, at least as of pre-COVID, was very tight seating and not... I mean, any indoor dining situation, I'm not really down with at this point, but especially something like that where you're just like shoulder to shoulder with people would be very uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I'm happy that we didn't do that, but I'm of course unhappy that we weren't able to eat the good food. But I will say one of my favorite things that we stopped at, we just randomly came across this cool, like metal coffee shop. I think it was also, there's like a venue in the back as well called Black Forge Coffee. And it was like a huge spot. It's the type of place, you know, like a Grindcore House, where I feel like pre-COVID, I would enjoy going there and just like drinking coffee and hanging out. I don't really think they had, I didn't actually look too much to be honest, but I don't think they really had any like vegan baked goods or anything like that. But I thought the coffee was great. For those of you who don't like coffee, like my partner doesn't drink coffee. And so she asked, it might have been the owner. She asked this person like, oh, can you do this specialty tea drink? Can it be made vegan? And the person was like, well, this aspect of it doesn't like has honey in it. And this aspect of it uses this syrup that's not vegan. But this person was like super kind and basically on the fly created something where she was like, this is going to be similar. And it was like, honestly, Andy, I don't usually get like specialty tea drinks, but it was so, it was just like phenomenal. It was so good. So, it was just a very nice experience. And all of their specialty drinks are $6.66, which is, you know, it's just the little things. It's the little things, Andy, that are just add to it all. Black Forge Coffee, and I bought some beans. All the beans have fun metal pun names. It's just an interesting place, cool place. And I hope if people enjoy coffee and are in Pittsburgh, they check it out.
I definitely appreciate the attention to detail.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Paul, I would love to pivot to non-food things that are brightening up our lives, getting us through this hellscape that we're all living through right now. Sadly, I cannot talk to you about Squid Game because you have not seen it yet.
I Andy knows this. This is not going to be a surprise to Andy. Andy knows I don't like horror movies too much. Well, I should say I don't like visually watching horror movies, but I'm often fascinated by the concept of them and the plot of them. And so frequently I just read the plots synopsis of movies where I'm like, I know I'm never going to watch this myself, but I'm interested in this, so I want to know what happens. And I semi-accidentally did that with Squid Game because I thought that it was going to be too much for me. And as I was reading it, I was like, I can't stop reading this synopsis, but I also feel like I should watch this. So I ruined it for myself, but maybe I'll still go back and watch it, Andy.
See, what you're describing as reading it was my experience of watching it. Like, I cannot stop watching this. I must keep going. I entered into it not knowing anything other than like the general category that it kind of fits into, because I've heard some people mention it vaguely. And I was just like, I know this is for me. And it very much was. It was catnip for Andy. And it would be a fun discussion. I do hope you watch it eventually. But this is nothing new to anybody. It's like Netflix's most watched show of all time, apparently. But Paul, tell me something that you actually have taken into your life and would like to tell the listeners about.
I got two things for you, Andy. They're going to be relatively quick things, but Kendra and I, my partner, we recently fostered a cat, a very young cat. I think she's about 8 to 12 weeks old. And I've never fostered an animal before, as you probably know, but the listener might not know. Like, before I moved in with my partner, I had never had a dog or cat growing up, actually. And so now I have two wonderful cats and a beautiful dog, and now we've fostered this additional cat. So this is like my first experience fostering. We've had her for about a week and she's just lovely. I also, you know, have very few experiences with like very young cats like this, so she's just super adorable. I've actually been semi-distracted during this episode because I need to make sure she doesn't knock stuff over. She's just traipsing around the room. And the eagle-eared listener might hear little bells or something in the background occasionally when I'm talking, which is her just playing. Because right now we're kind of separating her from the other cats, so she's in the office room. But she's wonderful. I have to imagine she's going to get adopted out soon just because she's so, so sweet. She warmed up to us. She's like still nervous, obviously, but warmed up to us right away. So I have to imagine she's going to get adopted out. And Andy, I got to say, I'm already like, oh, she's so wonderful. And I feel attached to her already. So I think it's going to be sad when she does go to the home that I can only imagine. It's going to, you know, obviously that place is going to be vetted, and I assume it's going to be a wonderful home. I hope it's a wonderful home, but still sad, you know?
Yeah. You know, my partner works with a local cat rescue adoption fostering type situation down here. And our landlord, Bill, coolest guy ever, lives upstairs, and he's rarely here, and he just lets us use his apartment to foster cats. So over the course of living here, we've had, I want to say eight kittens, maybe more than that. I'm trying to blank, but at the moment we have two kittens left out of a litter of, or a group of four. I don't know if they're all related or not, but and they are just joyful, and you can hear them like galloping up and down the hallway from down here, and they're just the most delightful little gremlins.
That is really nice, Andy. I didn't know that. I knew you were fostering, but I didn't realize the extent to it. So that's really wonderful.
Yeah. Well, it's all my partner doing all the work. I just reap those sweet bennies because I just get to like hang out with the cats occasionally.
Yeah, no, it's definitely been a very positive experience. And I'm sure that we'll, now that we kind of have the setup or the idea of a setup, I'm sure we'll expand it a little bit. I'm sure we'll continue to foster.
Paul, I'm a cat guy now. I feel like I've talked about Elliot on the show before. I've never not liked cats. I've grown up with cats. Cats are great. But I've never like been in love with a cat. I've never just like felt a deep connection with a cat before. There's been a few cats that I have really, really loved in my the last maybe 6, 7, 8 years of my life. But Elliot is just so gosh darn special. He's so great. As much as I love kittens, I'll take a good chill senior any day of the week now.
Yeah, that's Andy. That makes me so happy to hear. Not like, oh, I'm glad you're a cat person or a dog person, but just that you have that special bond with Elliot. Because I know, I mean, you talk about him all the time, so I know the love, and it just makes me happy to hear you say that.
He's just the best. Such personality. As soon as I wake up in the morning, he runs over to get his cuddles, and like, he's just great. And then he just sits on my keyboard while I'm trying to work. It's a good arrangement we have.
Andy, I said I had two things, but why don't you hit me with something that's been making you happy besides Squid Game?
Besides Squid Game, I'm trying to think. Well, it's spooky season.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, Halloween didn't happen last year. Mm-hmm. And every year I try to go to as many haunted attractions as I can. Haunts, you and I have been to one before. Sad we didn't get to go to one together this year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm still wary of going to a haunt indoor close quarters. Lots of people breathing in there. But I did the Lancaster Veg Fest a couple weeks ago, which was a 2-day veg fest. So I was, you know, I'm going to say this in a way that sounds disparaging, but it's not meant to be, stuck in this town overnight. And on my way driving in, I saw a billboard for the Field of Screams. And so that was in town. And I Googled it and I was like, okay, it's like a standard setup where, you know, a lot of these places you go to, they'll have like 4, 5, 6 small haunts that you walk through that take like 5 minutes each. And then they'll have like a haunted hayride to go on. And this place had a haunted hayride. And I was like, okay, hayrides, decent amount of people, but it's outdoors, well-ventilated. I can wear my mask. Gosh darn it, I'm going to experience something spooky this year. And then when I was searching for that, I also found that there was a place called Jason's Woods in town as well that also had a haunted hayride. And you know your boy hit up both in one night.
Andy, please tell me that Field of Screams was a baseball-themed haunted hayride.
Sadly not, at least not what I saw. For anyone that's never been on a haunted hayride before, it's a tractor. It's pulling a big like flatbed thing with a bunch of hay on it. And then a bunch of people get in, like 20 to 50 or whatever. And you're sitting on the outside of the tractor facing in. Although the first one I ever did with my dad, like way, way long ago in like high school, you sat with your legs dangling over the edge.
Oh, geez.
And a common trope of any haunt is the chainsaw. Mm-hmm. But, you know, person has a chainsaw, but there's no chain on it, but it's, you smell the fumes. And this is my first time ever experiencing that as a youngster. And the person took the chainsaw, was like running around, you know, jumps out, scares everybody. It takes the chainsaw and like puts it up between people's legs and like hits the wagon underneath, and it like vibrates you. It was very terrifying. Yeah.
That does sound very scary.
It was mind blowing to me. So I won't describe everything in depth, but overall a good time. Jason's Woods, not nearly as good as Field of Screams, but what Jason's Woods has is something I've never experienced before. They called it like IMT, immersive motion technology or something. Essentially what it just means is that there's points in this ride, and basically you're on this trailer and you're going through the woods, and it's all dark. And then you get to the next section. There's a big set piece going on, you know, going from set piece to set piece, and you get to one and it's like an earthquake happens, and the whole wagon is on some like motion panel. So like the whole trailer is like shaking all over the place.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And that's something I've never seen before. At one point the trailer like lifts up in the air and like you're pushing towards the ceiling where these like rolling torture things or whatever in the ceiling. They used one where there's this like mad scientist who had telekinesis, and he'd be like, let me get a good look at you. And he'd like do a Jedi hand motion to like pull the whole, you know, thing forward, like just an air motion. And the whole wagon would shift sideways, like 3 feet towards him. Very cool effect.
I gotta say, I feel like pre the last 2 minutes, I was like, hayrides seem like they would be much less cool compared to the normal like haunted house haunt experience. But what you are describing sounds very cool.
So they're definitely less intense than a normal haunt because one, you're with a bunch of people, so it's a communal thing. And, you know, the thing that happens at every set piece is that an actor or several actors will jump out from wherever and kind of run around and generally menace people. Often a few of them will like jump up on the wagon and like go down the middle and at different people, you know?
Yeah.
And it's kind of a scare that gets old and very predictable pretty quickly. And the Jason's Woods, literally every set piece that you get to, and sometimes they're so cool. His post-apocalyptic like wasteland, like, you know, used car shop, you know, like a Mad Max looking type of thing. And yeah, then you get to one and it's like the cryogenics lab where the aliens escaped. And then you get to one where you're entering this giant clown house. And then you get to one where it's like medieval torture, you know, like it's all about the big set pieces and the wow factor. And it'll be flames and things like dropping down from the ceiling. And like, it's all very cool. But it's also very repetitive. And Jason's Woods, literally everything was like some guy came out and gave a speech and then was like kill them all, for like, and just screaming kill them while two other people ran around and like jumped at you.
Yeah.
No matter what it was, they caused the earthquake. Kill them all. It's just every fucking set piece did that. It got old very quick. But it's also like really cool. Like if you're into just seeing set design and seeing how they pull that off, it's a really fun experience. And it's also good for someone who's by themselves like me, because I wouldn't even, you know, pre-COVID, walking through a haunted house by yourself is like not, for me, not a fun thing. Like the fun is getting scared with your friends, laughing with your friends, pointing out the cool things. And I don't want them to make fun of me for being alone in the haunt. I feel like they would target me for that.
And I feel like you can't be like, I mean, you could, you know, but I wouldn't be like, you know, you're giggly when you're with someone else. And I would feel silly just giggling by myself.
Maybe that would really disturb them. They'd be like, this guy's just giggling through the house all by himself. He probably killed someone earlier. But yeah, it was all very cool. It was really fun to do something spooky. I don't think I'll get to do anything else spooky this season, sadly. But I did two in one night. Feel pretty good about that.
Nothing else spooky except just survive another day and under the crushing weight of capitalism.
Well, that's the scariest, the spookiest of things. But yeah, those things were great. They're wonderful. If you're listening to this and you live in Florida and you want to go to some kind of haunt in the next, I'll be in Florida till Halloween, essentially. Miami, then the Orlando, Tampa, Gainesville kind of area. Hit me up. Let's do something fun.
Andy, can I tell you about one more thing that's made me happy?
Please do.
So I officiated a wedding of two of my good friends this past weekend. And within my officiation speech, I included a magic trick. And this was now my official first live magic trick that I've ever performed for someone. Thank you.
That makes me so happy to hear, Paul.
And I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to go into too many details, but the essence of it was I had all these pieces of paper, which I had written things on, like compassion and patience. And I folded up the pieces of paper one at a time and put them in the bride's hands. And there was three pieces of paper. And then I had the groom put his hand over her hand. And when he took his hand away and picked up what was inside her hand, it was a picture of their like engagement picture together. So the idea was that there were all these ingredients to make a good marriage, but you know, when combined with that other person, it makes this blah, blah, blah. Very sappy, very corny. And
that's awesome. How was it received?
It was received very well. And let me tell you, Andy, myself and my partner, we were both sweating because this magic trick had about realistically a 75% success rate, which is not what you want something that you're about to do in front of like a bunch of people. So you
ruin their marriage, Paul.
Yeah. And so like, you know, things would happen where when I was practicing it, things would happen where you could see how it was done, or just like something would happen where it just didn't work. And about 75, well, it worked about 75% of the time. So when I did it live and it like went well, and I don't think anyone, you know, saw how it was done or anything like that, it made me so happy and also was just a massive weight off of my shoulders. So I was like getting so anxious about that magic trick for like the last 2 weeks before the marriage. So I'm very happy it went well. And now I guess I'm an official magician now, because I have performed a single magic trick in front
of
an audience.
You weren't paid to be there, were you?
I was not, no.
So you're not a professional yet.
If only someone had like flicked, good job, son, and like flicked a penny at me or something.
Can I retroactively, or can I just send you a dollar and say it's retroactive payment for your appearance there, that you can say you're a pro?
And I'm a pro then.
Paul's magic has been like just coming along in such huge leaps and bounds. Whenever you post a new video on your Instagram, I'm just like, gosh dang it, that Paul's getting good.
Thank you. I'm honestly very proud of it. One thing I know I need to work on, which I've seriously thought of this. I'm like, I need to watch acting videos. Like you go on YouTube and be like, how do I act better? Because I don't have good presence yet. And I feel like some of that is just having like a character or having, you know, the right motions down with, like, what do I do with my arms and my legs when they're not involved in, or my face, like when they're not involved in the trick themselves. So I feel like I need to go on. What's the thing? Masterclass, take some acting masterclass or something.
Acting.com.
Is that a thing?
I mean, it has to be, Paul, but yeah, masterclass. There's some cool stuff on there. There are actors on there, I'm pretty sure. At the very least, you can listen to Werner Herzog talk for 8 hours, and it's just delightful.
but thank you, Andy. I appreciate those kind words about the magic.
Yeah, I can't wait to see you on Penn & Teller's Fool Us, fooling the shit out of those guys.
We'll see. Hopefully, maybe in a couple of years. But
I will say, new season of Fool Us is back, and that brings me great joy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Penn and Teller's Fool Us. If you've never watched it before, it's delightful. Absolutely delightful. And if not just for the magic, but also very, you know, if you've listened to our Penn and Teller's bullshit, that episode we did about that, and you're like, this doesn't sound like it would be delightful, like banter between people. It's just so positive and encouraging. A very positive atmosphere, I would say, overall. So a fun watch.
It's a real celebration of the craft.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, definitely, for sure. Highly recommended. But Andy, you got anything else?
No. Well, we should probably wrap it up here, but this was fun. I'm glad we got to do a little low pressure, no stakes, fun episode. Hopefully y'all listening enjoy this as well. And I think we'll have another bonus episode for you sooner than later. So thank you very much for contributing to the podcast. It still means the world to us, and it legitimately makes this thing possible. So thank you for keeping Paul, thanks for keeping the lights on.
So yeah, thank you very much. We appreciate the heck out of you, and yep, like Andy said, we'll have another bonus episode for you coming up shortly.
Yeah, well, Paul, you know, I neglected to mention one thing that is bringing me joy, and that is whenever you say the following seven words.
We are the Bearded Vegans, signing off. Welcome to the show. What is this new inflection that I'm doing? I don't like that.
I don't know, Paul. It's fun.
I forget how I used to inflect.
Should say it like, let's get ready to, like, welcome to the show. I don't know. It doesn't work as well. All right.